course, sometime before the beginning of the year, I think I told you all that bird flu was my absolute biggest fear. And the fact that I saw these scientists continually pummeling us with stories that it was, you know, virtually saying it's going to happen, that you could almost presume it will happen. And, Doctor, if it did happen, if the viruses got together, exchanged RNA, married, became the worst scenario, what are we looking at?
Well, I can take as our model the 1918 pandemic, otherwise known as the Spanish flu. Now, of course, the number of deaths probably wouldn't be so bad because I would assume that some of those were due to bacterial pneumonia, which we can treat. But just looking at the Spanish flu, it killed 50 million people around the world. It killed about 700,000 just in the United States alone.
Now, of course, that was then.
That was a third of our current population.
I know, but I mean, medically, that was then, and this is now. Wouldn't science save us?
Well, not necessarily, and you know why? Because a certain number of those deaths were directly from the virus itself. It was a particularly bad death, and sometimes they would die within 12 hours of their first symptoms. So you may not even get a chance to get into a doctor.
Boy, that's fast.
It's very fast. And what was really frightening was that it was killing young people.
Why is it that fast? And especially with young people.
With young people, part of it was that part of the reason for the deaths was because the body was responding. It was actually our immune system that was killing us. You know, that what happens when you get an influx of this virus is that your immune system pours out white blood cells and various toxins to try and kill the virus. And what it ends up doing is flooding your lung, your air spaces in your lungs so that you get pneumonia.
Oh.
You just can't breathe. There's no way to exchange oxygen with your bloodstream.
Well, we do, though, have more control over pneumonia these days, don't we?
Yeah, well, that's for bacterial pneumonia. You can give antibiotics. But these young people were dying of viral pneumonia. They were dying of their bodies trying to overwhelm this virus and instead overwhelming their lungs. So they were, you know, their epithelium, the surfaces, the mucous membranes of their lungs were wearing away, and so people were coughing up blood. They were bleeding from all their orifices, and they would die very quickly. And what made it worse, of course, and this is another thing that is different, is that what was happening in 1918, well, we were at war, and there were huge numbers of young men who were collected into these recruitment camps.
Right.
And so they were all, you know, living under the same tents, and it was very cold that winter, so they were all huddled together. And that's part of the reason it was spreading so quickly. But a lot of the spread just was within the military encampments. But then they would leave, and it would spread into the regular population. And I was looking at some statistics that just terrified me. You know, in Philadelphia, 43% of the medical staff at one hospital had to be hospitalized themselves, and a fifth of the nurses died.
Wow.
You're looking at Cook County, where the mortality rate for influenza was 40%.
Wow.
And half of the people were getting it. So in large cities in particular, it was very dangerous because you were exposed to other people.
So.
The only place that didn't get it was a little town in Nevada that actually barricaded itself. It wouldn't let anybody in town.
That is our mentality.
Yeah, well, nobody died in that town, so it worked.
It did work, huh?
It worked.
And if something like this got loose, Doctor, what would you personally do?
I personally?
Yes.
I hate to make a run on Tamiflu, but frankly, I don't think our country has got enough stockpiled. I would probably just try and stay indoors. I would stay away from other people. I would barricade my house, and I would try and keep my kids in one spot and tell them not to go out.
How effective is Tamiflu?
Excuse me?
How effective is Tamiflu against...
Well, all I can tell you is that people who work with viruses, if they're accidentally exposed, that's what they take.
Well, again, though, is there a way to know, do they have any statistics on how effective it apparently is or isn't?
Well, we're not entirely sure about bird flu because, you know, it does appear to be effective, though, in bird flu. And the way Tamiflu works is it affects one of the proteins on the virus, which it actually prevents the virus from being spread once it's invaded your cells. So it kind of keeps it from multiplying very quickly. And it works for other viruses as well, but it does seem to be the one thing that is the most effective. Unfortunately, it's pretty expensive. And as I said, this country just does not have enough. Now, the other thing, of course, is a vaccine. The problem with developing a vaccine is you're working with a moving target. By the time you figure out what the final flu virus is going to look like, it's going to take you 6 months to manufacture the vaccine. And by that time, you may have had, already one wave of an epidemic.
Right. Whew. So it could go. The other side of the coin is we have the ability to travel the entire world very quickly now. Airplanes going from continent to continent. And if something like that did get loose fairly widely,
it'd be fast. It would be very, very fast.
It would certainly encompass the world quickly, wouldn't it?
Yes, in one day, right around the world. And that, that's the other thing that we have to worry about. Even though we have these antibiotics for bacterial infections, everything moves much faster now. So it could move much faster. I know that the UN has devoted quite a lot of attention to just watching for outbreaks in Southeast Asia, which is where we think it will happen. But we have to remember that the Spanish flu, the outbreak started in Kansas. So that was a domestic case of.
You see, I didn't know that. It started in Kansas. Then why didn't they call it the Kansas flu?
Okay, well, here is another part of the story that made 1918 a very strange era. Because we were at war, there was censorship, and this is a lesson we should learn always. Is that the government told the media that you are not to say anything bad about the war, you are not to print anything that will affect the morale of the American public.
Uh-huh.
So that we were not told about these huge numbers of soldiers who were dying. Britain was at war. They were under the same kind of restrictions on their press. The only country that was still neutral that was able to talk about it was a newspaper in Spain. So it was first reported in the Spanish newspapers, even though it had not started in Spain, and so it got the nickname the Spanish flu.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, but it started in Kansas. And we're not really sure why. It may have been, Kansas has a lot of pig farms, I assume. It could have been incubating there.
Well, boy, did I just learn something or what?
Yeah.
That's
amazing. don't keep information from the public. It's a very important thing.
Well, China seems to be the chief incubator these days.
Well, that's because they have a lot of contact between people and poultry, and they live with their ducks and their chickens.